Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Okay, this is distorting in my ears. Is it distorting over there or not?
Say it again.
Hang on, let's try it. Hello. Oh, it sounds awful.
It does sound loud.
It's distorting.
Let me just dim it a little bit. How do I sound? Mine's always quiet.
Well, I sound distorted to me. Everything sounds distorted.
Why? Right, try it now.
Oh, yeah, okay. It still sounds distorted, but quieter.
Now?
What can
I'm going to get done for this.
Can you see
I shouldn't be messing with any of this stuff.
Can you see the waveforms?
Yeah.
Does it look like it's peaking?
I can't see the waveforms, but I can see the graphic equaliser, and it's not peaking, no.
Okay.
Just might be headphones.
Okay, well, are we recording?
Yeah.
Oh, so that bit was there?
Yeah.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad that was recorded, because then I can pick you up on something. I just said, can you see the waveforms? You went, yeah. I went, does it look like you're peaking? I went, I can't see them.
Right.
So what? Just explain
Here's the thing.
That.
I can
that
see
lie.
Some waveforms, but not yours. I can see something that says Man City Pellegrini, thankful to the fans.
I can see your aura. I, of all the mumbo jumbo, I was once in a meeting and a man said, well, it's all mumble jumble. Sorry?
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that funny? And he was like in his 50s. He'd spent a good 45 years of his life thinking it was mumble jumble. But of all the mumble jumble that is out there, I do believe in auras.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
No.
Well, why not? If you wear the heat, if you're a fireman, and you've got the heat goggles.
Yeah. Or search and rescue, they use them, don't they?
You can see, or police helicopter action.
Yeah, search and rescue.
That's just your aura. It's just the machine.
No, it's your heat.
No.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was auras.
It's a thermal imaging camera. It's not your cosmic aura camera, dude.
But who's to say there's a difference?
Me.
Well,
I've just said it.
Good evening, good morning, good day, good morrow, fair maiden. this is the best of podcast. A little bit of a balls up last night with it, Catherine. By the way, Catherine Boyle is the producer of the show.
Yeah, hi, that's me.
And I realised that we were so oblique in our introduction at 11 minutes, at 17 minutes past 11 last night to you, that the majority of people didn't. Yeah, there were people at home cheering in their pants.
Thanks, Mum.
But they're... And what pants they are. Does she like them? Because I've got the receipt. But there are a lot of people going, who's this irritating Northern bird?
No, there wasn't. Yeah? There's no one saying
that. I was saying it in my head.
Thanks, mate.
Anyway, you're from the other place.
Manchester.
Do you remember the 8:15 from Manchester?
Yes, I do. I remember thinking, yes, finally!
And who,
a mention.
And who hosted it?
The
Wee Man, isn't it?
Which wee man?
The wee fella.
Which one?
The one that's gone to
America. I thought
it
was a blonde woman.
No, no, no. Well, it may have been, but it was the wee fella.
Something like Muriel Gray or something.
It was like a Saturday morning kid show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was hosted by the wee fella who went to America and entered a show to become a weatherman.
Oh, I know who you mean. Russell.
No.
No.
The wee fella.
He's married a really, really attractive woman.
He's life.
And he's looking increasingly... L.A.
Anyway, this is the
his
best
name,
of...
Ross.
Ross King.
King. Hi, Ross.
Hi, Ross. This is the second best of podcast. It'll be a little bit longer
was
than...
Was it
19...
him on the 8:15? Just...
Yeah, and I remember they had Vic and Bob on, right, who were obviously off their nut on enthusiasm and exuberance.
Yes.
And you just didn't have a clue what to do with them. It'll be on YouTube. We'll go and watch it in a minute.
Okay.
This is the best bits. We're going to start off with some phone calls, and then we're going to have a bit of John Sebastian from The Loving Spoonful, which I'm genuinely nervous about. You're pulling the face as though he's not coming on.
You should be. I'll tell you a bit more about that in a second.
Is he not coming on?
First of all, just say, here are some phone calls.
Okay, here are some phone calls. Evening, Noah.
Evening.
The only time I've ever come close to a mugging was when I was in Bounds Green, North London, and a young lad on a bicycle tried to grab my chips off me.
What?
Tried to grab my chips. I was 20.
That's a contradiction, isn't it?
Sorry?
Active lifestyle bike.
Yeah.
Unhealthy chips.
Well, but it's the perfect crime. Because you eat the chips and then you ride off. And you lose all of the fat and the weight gained. And I was 24, 25, so I was a young man.
Mm.
And I was 23.
Thin then,
24,
as well.
24.
Sprightly.
I wasn't as sprightly as I would later become. Before those days. It was early days. And he grabbed the chips and he went, give us the chips. I went, what? He said, get this, Noah. I tell you what, Noah.
Hello.
You be a young hoodlum.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you demand my chips, and we'll reenact it. Okay.
What am I doing at this point, just standing by?
You're my girlfriend at home, thinking...
Where's he going with my chips?
Where's he going with the chips? Right, go.
Give me your chips.
Oh.
That was a little bit... Oh, blimey.
He gave it his all, didn't he?
That really caught me off guard.
Yeah. You'd give him the chips, wouldn't you?
I would have... The chips have gone now. He's gone. You're right.
I'm fine.
Okay. Do it... He was a young lad. He was about 16.
Yeah, but menacing.
But he didn't sound like Phyllis.
All right, okay.
So do it. Give us it again, Noah, but you're 16.
Give me your chips.
What?
Give me your chips.
Get out of it. Go on, bog off. I think I actually did say bog off.
Okay, but you wouldn't have said it to the first guy. You would have given him your chips.
And the first guy would have got the chips.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's why I don't like Have a Go Heroes.
Okay, thanks for that illustration.
Noah, look, Yasser's on the line in a minute. That's a blast from the past. What have you called in for, Noah?
About favourite helmets.
Excellent.
Yep, go on.
My favourite helmet is the one Judge Dredd uses.
Oh, that is a sweet helmet.
Oh, it's an iconic helmet. It's also very practical because not only does it keep your brain safe from hoodlums kicking it in, but that little emblem in the middle on top... is actually a respirator. So if you ever get caught in a gas attack or something, you've got 20 minutes of oxygen.
20 minutes?
Yeah.
It's not a lot.
No.
Is it enough?
Better than nothing.
It's better than nothing. Is it better than nothing, or is it just prolonging the inevitable?
Well, it was long enough for Dredd to use to kill his brother Rico.
Flipping Rico.
Rico?
Yes.
Welcome to the world of Yasser. Good evening, Yasser.
Good evening, Ian.
Oh, just crushed a plum as I crossed my legs there as I was talking to you. Isn't that funny? Well, not funny, it's painful. Did it just you know what I'm talking about, don't you, Ed? You've crossed your legs aggressively before now.
It's not a fun experience, it's not... I'll tell you that.
Yasser, ever crushed a plum?
No, is that a euphemism for something?
Yes, testicles.
No.
Okay.
I have. I have. Someone grabbed my boobs uninvited in a club once, so I crushed his plums.
So let that be a lesson to us.
He was very surprised.
Why did you look at me after you said that?
Just a warning.
That's a lesson for us all, isn't it, Yasser?
Yeah.
It is. Respect women's bodies is what's...
Absolutely, yeah.
Absolute respect for women and... their bodies is key, I think. It's key. Yasser, I've not spoken to you for what? About 10 years?
No, that's not true. We spoke, you've forgot this,
yep.
But we spoke about 4.5 years ago, actually it was.
Okay, hang on one second, Yasser. Can I ask you what your views are on trumpets?
I don't want to blow my own trumpet because I haven't got one.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Yasser.
Oh, it's that guy.
Yeah, it's that guy. It's
so
that guy.
So pleased to meet you.
Yasser's greatest hits. Yasser.
That was 10 years ago, man. Come on.
Yeah, that was 10 years ago. But it's one of my favourite quotes of all time, as is...
I've got a mouthful of sausage.
So, you know, happy right, days.
I like the mushy peas.
There we go. Yasser, how's life treating you, mate? You all right?
Yeah, it's good, yeah.
It's that thing, isn't it? When you've not met someone for years, right, you think you'd have loads of stuff to say to them. And you haven't, generally. You don't really have a lot to say. So I'm hoping that Yasser's going to turn this around. He's going to spin some old-school magic, and he's going to turn it around. Yas, what you got?
Tell me that you might not know about me. Last year, if you go on YouTube,
You killed someone.
I was in a YouTube video.
Oh.
Last year, that got over 500,000 views.
500,000?
Yeah. I was actually... It wasn't my video. I was a part of the video, actually, last year.
What was it? Were you in a Justin Bieber concert?
No, it was in Trafalgar Square last May. Oh. It was... A YouTuber does it, guy.
Yeah.
And he said, like... It was like... I think it was about 50 of us. Yeah. It was a massive group hug.
Oh, no.
I don't like that. A massive group hug?
Yeah.
What were you doing that for, mate?
For YouTube.
Good evening, Jessica.
Hello.
Oh,
I've heard the story about the seagull, mugging the guy.
Has it made you sad?
Well, no, but I thought I could top it.
Oh.
Okay, come on then.
So, but basically, I went to Kenya for a month, and we like to volunteer, and then we decided to go on a safari.
Yeah.
At the end of the, time we're out there, so we can, relax for a bit. And we went out in the morning for, a game drive, and then when we came back, I went into my room and it was completely messed up, and I was all our food had been stolen and our bags had been gone through, and I was I thought we had been our room had been burgled, so I went to go and talk to someone at reception.
Yeah.
And they said it's probably baboons that had come into our room.
The what?
Baboons, because there was baboons on the reserve where we were staying.
I can't...
The bins?
Baboons!
Baboons!
Yeah. I thought the bins, the booze, baboons.
Baboons!
And apparently they'd been, hanging around my room, all day, and they were trying to work out why, and I'd left the window unlocked, and there's actually big signs on the window saying, keep the doors locked because there's, baboons that can come into the rooms, and they'd let themselves in.
They
also shut the window behind them, which was quite cute.
Oh well, that's nice. They're almost as evolved as us. When I was in halls.
What were they doing in your room? Trying on your shoes?
Yes, possibly. I don't know, but I found some packets of Mentos that they'd literally taken the Mentos out of the packet.
Flipping heck.
And then they actually put some stuff in the bin as well, which I thought was quite funny.
Tidy baboons.
Here we go.
They're very tidy.
But here we go. I'll ask you first, Jessica. Could you ever fancy a baboon?
Did I fancy a baboon?
I'm not saying did you. Could you ever fancy a baboon?
That's a tricky one, because there was one baboon that I kind of got along with when I was there. He was sat, when I was having breakfast, he was sat on this, chair next to me, and he, took some food and stuff, and we got on quite well. So possibly, I don't know, maybe if I went back, I could, rekindle something. I don't know.
Gosh.
I'll be honest. I respect the honesty of that answer.
Yeah.
I respect the honesty of that answer. I tell you why, because some animals are, I don't want to say sexy.
Please don't.
Mm.
But they're cute.
I know what you mean.
Okay, for example, and I don't mean this in any way to do with the age thing, but kittens. A little kitten with a bow in its hair.
Yeah.
They are very cute.
Very cute.
Yeah, but...
They age quicker. Also, if you get not a horse... But a pony with ribbons. You know when they do, they plait its hair? So imagine a pony with its hair plaited. It just looks over at you like that.
I'm still not finding it alluring in that way.
Push comes to shove.
Well, it would.
I don't want to make an ass of myself.
Have you ever seen the world's most beautiful horse?
The world's most beautiful horse?
Yeah, you should Google it.
Horse.
The world's most beautiful horse. I have
horse. Nay.
Horse. I have the internet. I have access to the internet here. I'm going to Google.
Be careful.
The world's.
Google.
It's my laptop. Don't matter.
Okay.
Beautiful horse. I know it's a
should be
in
your favourites.
Let me just have a little look. So I've Googled it. Hang on a minute.
It's like a beige colour.
Hang on.
Oh, is it a Palomino?
I have no idea.
Is it a Palayozo? Hang on. World's most beautiful horse. Let's go to images. Hang on a second. Internet's being a little bit... Oh, my gosh.
Let's have a look.
Flipping
what do you think about that?
Heck.
Let's have a look.
That is... Is that made of something. Gold? That
I think
is...
it might be.
Wow.
Well, problem is, she knows it.
Oh, blimey, yeah. She is working that.
I
that
know.
Is... That is outrageous. I mean, that's just incredible.
Blows your mind, doesn't it, really?
Oh, but man alive.
Not that song.
Oh, man.
Not that song.
That is. It's made me feel romantic.
Not this song, please.
Here comes a horse.
Do-do-do-do.
Here comes a horse, and she is like well fit.
Mom and Dad had trouble just getting along, so they split each in their own way. Now one lives here and one lives there, and my wife's folks did the same. Now we got a son, he's got next to no one.
everybody's so spread out. He's got his next to kin right next to him, but after that we've learned to say, you go your way and I'll go mine. Ain't that how it is nowadays? People drift away in time.
Oh man, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. We're not a music station, so I'm not really supposed to play anything, but flipping it, I've been digging John Sebastian all my life. And for the last few weeks, I've got these wonderful little box sets here, and it has been the soundtrack in my car. I'm very excited. If I say hello, I think, John Sebastian, are you there?
Absolutely, I am, and I am delighted to hear you playing that particular tune that gets no airplay in the U.S.
I say it's a brilliant song. It's an upbeat song about divorce.
I know. It's cheery. It's friendly.
John, it's such a thrill to speak to you, and I'm doing my darndest to avoid playing the obvious stuff. The Loving Spoonful, you had massive, massive hits.
Good on you, as they say in Australia.
There is this delightful box set, because I got the Loving Spoonful albums, got them. Then I got this delightful box set of four of your solo albums from the 70s.
Yes, I know the one.
And I was aware of the John B. Sebastian album, which is a joy. You know, every home should have one of those. But I was not quite so aware of the Tarzana Kid and the Welcome Back LPs. Man alive, right. You've done some cracking stuff. Does it disappoint you, John, that I imagine whenever you do an interview, it starts off with Summer in the City and it ends with Daydream. Does it disappoint you that you've done dozens of other songs that are equally good, if not better, and they get overlooked a bit?
Well, you know, you got to be glad for what you get, I think, is the moral there. I have had a very fortuitous songwriting career compared to many of the cats that I looked up to, not just that were my contemporaries, but that I thought were a lot better. And so I can't really say that, but I am pretty much recognition free. You're right.
Oh no, they're all a joy. I mean, that you're a big boy now, and Red Eye Express. I mean, come on, man, that's a great song. When you left the Spoonful, and if I've got this right, the wheels kind of came off it, and it sort of fell apart a bit. Correct me if I'm wrong, but what did you think was going to happen? Did you think you would kind of have as much success with a solo career?
Well, I was just glad to be able to get on to whatever was coming next.
Yeah,
and for me, it didn't really have much to do with more than making records, and for me, what the fun was going to be was an idea that Paul Rothschild and I had unhatched, which was, let's make an album of songs, because you, John, write all over the board. You don't write in this one bag. Let's pick the right players for every song.
Yeah.
And that entailed going to a number of different, musical atmospheres.
Yeah.
And it was delicious to do. I had really enjoyed working with the Spoonful. And part of the process is that you eventually say, yeah, and I'd love to play with other people too. And not just new strangers, but people that, because I'd had a odd little accompanist's career before I ever was in the Spoonful, a lot of my contemporaries that were in that same position were now, many of them, quite visible guys, and I was going to delight in being able to invite people like Stephen Stills and Graham Nash and David to...
Well, you read the back of this box set, right? These are some of the people on there. David Crosby, Stephen Stills, Graham Nash, Dallas Taylor, the Iketts, Phil Everly, Ry Cooder, Emmylou Harris, the Pointer Sisters. I mean, what a list of superstars.
it was a lovely period of our history when artists had the flexibility and the cash to be able to do something like that.
Can I ask? Is it true? I'm going to try and avoid some of the obvious stuff, John. But there is some famous stories that I do need to hear. I've got a few myths that I want to clear up. Is it true that it was very nearly Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Sebastian?
Oh, I couldn't go that far with you, actually.
Okay.
Because what happened was mainly a conversation that was sort of in play for a week or more. And the conversation went something like this. We can't find a drummer. We don't want somebody that just goes tick, 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 boom, tick, 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 boom, because we're it's like an acoustic effort here that Stills was putting out. There was something distinctly new about his vision for the way that band was going to come together.
Yeah.
And I did watch several stages of it because I had invited the band up to my house in Long Island. And
wow.
They were rehearsing in my little music barn and playing with people like Harvey Brooks and Paul Harris and wonderful. And in fact, somewhere just before that, I had heard Dallas Taylor in a band called Clear Light that had recorded with Paul Rothchild, who was my main conduit into all of this studio work that had preceded our actual producer-artist relationship. All the Spoonful stuff marvelously with Eric Jacobson. And in fact, I did get a chance later on to do another one in Tarzan the Kid with him. But the idea that Paul and I carried forward there, it was wonderful to be able to carry that out.
Here on this show, me and my producer Catherine, we are huge Cass Elliot fans.
Uh-huh.
We love Cass, and her solo albums from the 70s that get criminally overlooked. When did you first meet Cass, and how delightful was she?
Oh, my God. I thought I had my children's Jewish aunt all picked out. That's all I can tell you. Cass really was the center of our little musical universe. I mean, not always musically, but simply as the keeper of this kind of living room relationship with all of these wonderful players. And as you know, she was pivotal in many cases in saying, oh, no, you, Steve, and you, Graham, really ought to sing together with Crosby.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Okay, here's another one. You were nearly... Listen, I'm a huge fan of the Monkees, so I don't want this to sound rude. You were nearly the Monkees.
In retrospect, I know it's true. It went by so fast, and we gave it so little credence that it is remarkable to me how often that continues to be mentioned.
Really? I'm a huge Monkees fan, was it ever a serious consideration? You, the Loving Spoonful, being offered the TV show, or was it just you had the meeting and went, "Nah, this is not for us"?
Not serious.
Yeah,
not serious. And I mean, part of it was no, this isn't us becoming them. No. Them, we're not them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it really was a case of a culture you know, a youth culture that was a few steps ahead of the game, and the Spoonful were lucky in that we had something to offer, and I guess it was an obvious choice for somebody, but who would want to suddenly be a part of a television show where you would, what would you do? The first thing you'd do was give up any kind of artistic control. You know, they'd be telling you the songs, or I don't know what they'd do. I kind of watched that all from a distance. Peter Torkelson had been a friend of mine. I didn't really know the other guys and came to know them just a little bit through Henry Diltz.
The famous photographer, and of course Henry Diltz would have been hanging around with you guys.
Yes, that's right, and he was. And Henry actually had some of his very first experiences as a photographer when Eric Jacobson said, "Look, I've got this new band, and would you please just take some 8x10 glossies so I have some pictures?" And that was us.
What are you doing now, John? Do you still get the muse? Do you still wake up at 2 a.m. going, I've got to get my guitar and write this down?
Well, my guitar is right next to my bed, just in case, and that does occasionally happen to me. Maybe not with the same frequency, but there's also the incredible change that all of us songwriters have experienced. Of basically being told, you know what, your material is now worth about, let's say, between a sixth and an eighth of what it was worth.
Yeah.
And so you know, live on that, pal.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't whitewash it. I can't afford to do what I was doing in those days. I couldn't get together... I mean, I'm lucky. Me and Jerry Marotta and David Grisman can clutch here in Woodstock in a little studio that I know of. But, you know, on the scale of what was going on then, you know, I couldn't hire the S.O. Trinidad Steel Band.
But you're still playing gigs as well, aren't you, John? You're still doing
absolutely.
Shows.
Absolutely. I play almost every week. Except in these January, February months, I sort of discourage people from hiring me. But now we're getting back to the season where I'll be in Nashville in a couple of weeks, and Atlanta, and I'm playing out on Long Island. And
what have we got to do to get you over here in the UK?
It's, the offers, all it is offers. I don't just, you know, I can't say, well, I'd really like to play the Royal Albert, you know.
Mr. John Sebastian, I mean, come on, every bit, I mean, what a joy. Well, the plan was to have him for the last half an hour of the show.
Yeah. If he doesn't answer, it means he's got the message.
Well, you'll have known, dear listener, whether he was on the show or not, because you'll have just heard him or not on the podcast.
Hang on. Here's the space for him.
No.
Or a silence.
OK, well, I was assuming we were coming out of the proposed John Sebastian.
Oh.
So the last half hour, I've got to work bloody hard then. This is why I wanted the American guests on at 12:30.
I know.
To make it
easy. I didn't know they were going to put the clocks...
I told you!
Spring back, fall forward,
I
right?
told you they were... Can we go and get some food?
Yeah.
OK, bye.
No, whoa. Can you just do the... That's
you
it,
do,
that's
I can't be bothered.
That's it,
get
that's
it. Practice for your best-of show at the weekend.
That's your lot. There'll be more tomorrow. Don't worry about it. Hopefully John Sebastian's on this. If not, I might not be on it tomorrow. Bye. Love you. Bye. Bye.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.